Next on BYUSN, the Cougars bow out in the Big 12 quarterfinals to Texas Tech. What went wrong and how concerned are we heading into the NCAA tournament? Selection Sunday, just 2 days away, we'll put out our best guesses for which seed BYU will be, where they'll play, and who they're going to face in the opening round.
Plus, we'll chat with ESPN's Sean Farnham about BYU's performance yesterday, NCAA tournament seeding, and who is winning the Big 12 tournament. And what Trevin Nell, Richie Saunders, and Foos told me after the game.
Plenty to talk about. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation. Happy Friday, everyone. We are presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is March 15th. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who is still in Kansas City and was hanging out with Andy Reid once again courtside during BYU's game, Jerem Jordan.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Andy Reid, of course, had to see the Cougs donning the stretch Y there. Fun interaction there with Brett Yormark pregame. They had like a 12-second handshake, which is kind of funny. I've never had that long of a handshake and not felt awkward during that. But Brett Yormark was telling him, hey, it's great to have BYU in the league. And Andy was giving it to the refs during the game. Jay Drew, who had a better seat than I did, said on Twitter, after that traveling call on Foos, Andy Reid told referee Gary Pollard that they were Euro steps. Pollard laughed. So Andy, giving the refs the business in the NFL and in college basketball, apparently.
Hey, he's seen enough NBA games to know that they get away with that on the regular. Why not bring the Euro step argument to the college game, too?
Got to give it to him, man.
Great stuff. Andy Reid, always nice to have that guy in the house. It's been the Andy Reid week on BYU Sports Nation. Much to discuss. Not a ton of time, relatively speaking, to do it, so let's get right to it. All rise and shout. Here comes what's trending.
Texas Tech 81, BYU 67, your final. Red Raiders into the Final Four, BYU on to Selection Sunday.
BYU now awaits Selection Sunday after bowing out to Texas Tech. That music selection has some ominous tones, some minor keys, and that fits what BYU played like yesterday against the Red Raiders. BYU, to their credit, Jerem, they put together a nice little run at the end, but when you're down 23 and you go on a 16-0 run and you're still down 7, like that's more a problem than being down 23 in the game. So BYU bows out. As you look back at the game and kind of digest the statistics, what do you feel like went wrong and where it went wrong and ultimately what happened that prevented BYU from being more competitive in this game?
Certainly the start was tough. BYU used all of its good start, I guess, against UCF, going up 21-3 in that game. And then in this game, they're down significantly from the start, Spencer. BYU couldn't buy a bucket, as they said in NBA Jam that we played when we were younger. And maybe we still play now. 21% field goals in the first half, 3 of 18 from 3, 17%. That's just not going to get it done. Minus 9 on the boards, of course, because there were lots of misses to be had. Texas Tech did a good job of kind of blowing up what BYU was doing. A lot of defensive action on the handoff that kind of gave BYU some trouble. It's not like BYU hasn't seen that all year, but Texas Tech was motivated. They wanted to win this game, and certainly they came out and really took it to BYU. At one point, Cougars shot 1 of 18 from the field, which is just crazy. Like, if you said they're all going to shoot left-handed and they'll go 1 of 18, I'd be like, well, that's pretty bad. They should have made, like, 3 or 4. No, it wasn't offhand. It was straight up. Like, it wasn't Larry Bird at Atlanta that one game in the 80s. But it was tough, man. I thought BYU would come out and have a better showing. And certainly you're going to hear from Trevin, Richie, and Foos later. They all commented on how we did not start well.
Yeah.
And that was very disappointing. They all must have read Extreme Ownership in the offseason like we did at BYU Broadcasting 2 years ago. Because they were like, listen, I should have done better. I could have helped the team in that way. So it was disappointing. I don't know that it was an energy thing. I don't know that it had any kind of motivation thing. Like, Tech came out and they quote punched first.
Yes.
Dallin Hall, you know, told the media, hey, we got punked at the beginning. And BYU did not start well, and ultimately that 15-0 run to get it down to 7 with 5 minutes to go, you felt like, oh, it's a game. And you'll hear I asked the guys, did you feel like it was on at that point? And they were like, yeah, we thought we were coming back fully. Texas Tech makes 2 threes in a row the next 2 possessions, and it's over from there, and BYU's out. And frankly, I was a little surprised by how disappointed and somber the locker room was, given that this isn't the end of the season or they didn't make the NCAA tournament kind of vibe. They know they're going, but they fully expected to win that game, Spencer. Yeah, they were very disappointed.
Certainly. And certainly they were disappointed with how they competed in that game. If you lose on a buzzer beater and it's a back-and-forth game and it's highly competitive, yeah, you're still disappointed. Yeah. But it's different when you're down 23 at multiple points in that game. And so now we push it forward to, okay, well, given how BYU played against Texas Tech, how concerned are we that this will have some type of lingering effect going into the NCAA tournament? Because, yeah, it was ugly. BYU did show some burst ability, and they showed some fight in the end. That was good. But I feel like BYU has, and I mentioned this to you, and I put this out there on social media yesterday, especially over the last three losses, BYU has come back the next game, and they have been gangbusters. They have played lights out. They have looked really, really good. And beaten the likes of Baylor, you know, after a loss. We're all like, oh, man, BYU just lost to Oklahoma State and Kansas State. What the heck are they going to do? They're beating Baylor and Kansas after those games, Jerem. Like, come on. So the Cougars have showed some resilience there, and I like that trend to continue. So I'm not ultra concerned that BYU somehow is going to, like, limp into the tournament. I don't think that's it at all. And I had a couple of fans say, well, there's a blueprint out there for how to beat BYU. And it's the kryptonite that, you know, these teams from the Big 12, they've shown everybody else in the tournament it's going to cause problems. And I'm like, the kryptonite for BYU is when you go 1-for-18 in a stretch shooting. It's a kryptonite for every team in America. Like, if BYU hits their marks, they shoot 32% from the three-point line, they make at least 10 threes, it's a one-possession game, Jerem. They might win it. Those are the things. The kryptonite for BYU is when they don't do what they, on average, do every stinking game. And I'm sticking to it. I think they're going to bounce back. This was an anomaly. These don't happen very often. BYU rarely shoots this poorly. So the overreaction, a little bit dramatic for me. Like, am I being too optimistic, or are you with me that, like, do you believe BYU will regress to the mean and play better against whoever they're playing against in the first round of the tournament?
I fully expect, in my completely biased BYU opinion, that next Thursday BYU will play much better, and it's not just hoping. It's the ability to bounce back like you talked about. I felt the same way after the game. BYU, after some really disappointing losses, some of the most disappointing this year, have won some of their biggest games. And certainly the team that plays BYU will not have played them at least twice like Texas Tech and some of the other teams. Oklahoma was a one-off, but that was a true road game. This will be a neutral site game, unless it's in Salt Lake. And it'll be BYU against a team that has not seen a guy like Ali Khalifa, who won't be, fully engaged in the fasting that is this week, per se, in the same way, right? Or maybe he's used to it. And it's a team that hasn't seen a team like BYU shoot as many threes from a diversity of great three-point shooters like BYU has. So I am confident that BYU will be just fine next Thursday. Now, if you're in a 5-12, it makes you nervous because, like, 35% of the 12s have won since 1985. Those are always weird matchups.
Sure.
But I just don't think that the opponent will have the same kind of scout and depth that BYU has faced against a team like Texas Tech. And, oh, by the way, Tech is a quad one. Tech was a top 25 team. You're not playing that type of team in round one. Yes. That's more like a round two game.
Yeah, it's again, I know it's not it's easy to get lost in what just happened, to be prisoners of the moment. BYU fans did it after the Cincinnati loss. They did it after the Kansas State loss on the road. They did it after the Oklahoma State loss on the road. I remind you to go back and look what BYU did, especially late season, in the games after those head-scratching, super frustrating, what the heck happened type losses. The Cougars have shown resilience. They have bounced back. So they have burst ability, Jerem, and they have bounce back ability. They have developed that this season. I really like their chances in the first round of the tournament, which leads us into topic two, my friend. Okay? And why don't you set it up? Because we got to push to the weekend. Selection Sunday approaches.
Hey, BYU's going to the NCAA tournament, lest we forget. People are bummed, but BYU's going dancing. Put on your dancing shoes, man. My mom used to go to this place called The Bay back when she was single downtown in Salt Lake. Put on your dancing shoes, baby. BYU's going to The Bay. I don't think it exists now, but all good. Okay, topic two, Spence. Call your shot. What seed is BYU? Where are they playing? And who are they playing?
So I have to approach this from a couple of different angles. Like, there's a what I think is going to happen, and there's what I really want, like, desperately hope happens. Gosh.
Salt Lake, please!
Please! Like, I want that to happen so badly for BYU, but there are still some moving parts out there that could impact if BYU actually does end up in Salt Lake City. Notably, one of BYU's longtime rivals, their friends to the north. No, no, not the team in Salt Lake City, the team in the far north in Ogden. I mean, Logan, okay? They're rocking up in Cache Valley
still
right
funny.
Now. Utah State. Jeremy, if they win the Mountain West Conference tournament, like if the Aggies win the regular season and the Mountain West Conference postseason tournament, I believe they're going to be the 5 seed playing in Salt Lake City. The committee is going to reward that team and their head coach, Danny Sprinkle, and all of that mojo they have going on. So BYU fans, honestly, like I know you probably root against Utah State regardless. Like, you do not want Utah State to win the Mountain West Conference tournament because that could impact if BYU ends up in Salt Lake City. If Utah State does not, I believe BYU will be in Salt Lake City taking on Grand Canyon. There will be regional ties. It'll be fantastic. Now, if the Aggies do win the postseason tournament, Jerem, I think BYU is going to be playing in Pittsburgh, still as a 5 seed, against James Madison. So I've got 2 predictions, okay? Mm. One, it's great to be a 5 seed. Come on. Awesome. But guess what? You got to go to the East Coast, and you got to play a team that's from the East Coast, and James Madison or VCU or even USF, those other 12 seeds that are being projected, that's tough. That's tougher for BYU, even with that bounce-back ability. So, the BYU fans need to hope that Utah State does not win the Mountain West Conference tournament. How do you see it? Where do you have BYU playing and why?
I also have BYU in Pittsburgh. This is based on Lenardi saying, hey, Salt Lake or Pittsburgh are the two most likely to him. So if it's not Salt Lake, which obviously we all want, who doesn't want that? Come on now. Unless the fans living in Omaha and Charlotte are like, no, we want him here. Is I have him against South Florida.
Okay.
This would be the Gary Bohannon Bowl.
Yes.
And it's in Pittsburgh, so it's in Chris Hoke's backyard. Chris Hoke still lives there. Year 3 of a 9-year reign as state president. I can report those numbers as of this morning. It'd be awesome to have the Gary Bohannon Bowl in the home of Jaromir Jagr, whose bobbleheads got stolen on the way to the game apparently yesterday, so they had to cancel that. But anyway, BYU versus South Florida. Winner gets the rights to Gary Bohannon's, future children's NIL deals or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I think BYU versus South Florida in Pittsburgh would be fun. Listen, if it's not Salt Lake, I don't care what other city it's in of the other three with Omaha and Pittsburgh and Charlotte. But come on, man. Like, if BYU fell to a 6 or whatever because of Sunday play, whatever lines, and they were a 6, as long as they're in Salt Lake, they could be a 16, dude. I don't care. I just think that'd be really compelling. Obviously, they're not going to be a 16. But BYU is not going to get up to a 4, it looks like. 5 feels like the most likely. And then if BYU dropped to a 6 because of Sunday play or whatever, which can happen, just they can't fit them into that last 5 spot, whatever. Lenardi has them still as the first 5 despite the loss.
Yeah.
So a win, I'm not sure a win would have put them up as a 4, maybe, but it didn't hurt BYU at all. That's the solace that BYU fans should take in this morning.
Yeah, it was ultra chalky at the Big 12 tournament yesterday, too. All of the seeds.
Oh, yeah, I was coughing.
Advancing, yeah.
4.
So that played out the way it was supposed to in Kansas City. It would have been fun for BYU to have a shot at Houston again. Not going to happen unless BYU somehow goes on the magical run in the NCAA tournament and they encounter Houston somewhere down the line. I don't know. Like, never say never, but it's most likely not going to happen. Now, we should note, so, Jeremy, you feel like South Florida in Pittsburgh, you're going with Lenardi there. Jerry Palm, by the way, has BYU playing Grand Canyon in Salt Lake. The Athletic still has BYU as a 4 seed playing UC Irvine in Salt Lake City. That would be the most ideal scenario of all. And I know a few of you are thinking,
yeah. Little hey, men's volleyball history there.
What about Spencer? What if Utah State wins the Mountain West Conference tournament and they're the 4 seed and BYU is the 5 seed and they're both in Salt Lake City? I say bring it on.
That would be awesome.
Love that.
That would be amazing.
I would love that scenario to have BYU and Utah State renew the rivalry in the second round potentially of the tournament. That'd be crazy, but I feel like that is an absolute pipe dream.
Bring
at this
on
point.
The Scotsman.
That's a pipe dream, folks. It's a pipe dream. McNeese, Princeton, USF, and Grand Canyon are the 4 projected 12 seeds that BYU could face, according to Jerry Palm and Joe Lunardi. Palm does have Madison, Grand Canyon, VCU, and USF specifically in his. It's going to be a fun, tough, exciting matchup, regardless of who BYU draws and wherever they're playing. But we can collectively say that we feel confident that it is a five seed, right? You are 100% in on the five seed, yes?
I'd be surprised.
All right, our question of the day. What would you be willing to give up for BYU to play
this is my favorite.
What
in
we
do
Salt
this?
Lake City in the NCAA?
What's the sacrifice you off the heavens for what you want?
We all want this for BYU. Andrew G. Garrett on X says, I would give up a winning season in football. Oh, I'd be willing to go 5-7
another one?
Again.
Oh, man.
If it meant BYU basketball
If you told me Sweet 16.
Okay.
That's
what he's saying.
If you told me Sweet 16, I'd take a losing football season. I would.
Okay. Wow. Okay. He said if BYU wins 2 in Salt Lake City and I got to be there to witness it, that BYU would make their third ever Sweet 16 trip. Wow. Okay. David Mayer on Facebook. Willing to give up the Utes joining the Big 12.
What?
No. Oh, my gosh.
No, that's not going to. No. That's too much. That's too much.
Okay, Tom LeBaron on Instagram says, I'd straight up give it my pinky toe. You just take it. Just get rid of the pinky toe. We're good. Just as long as BYU gets to
pinky
play in
toe.
Salt Lake City.
The Ronnie Lott of the foot sacrifices?
Oh, my gosh. We're giving up body parts now. The desperation
too much.
Is real.
That got past the goalie. Too much.
Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram. Up next, BYU baseball. Doing work. They look to bounce back tonight at Miller Park in the second of three games against Houston. Hey, they get a shot at Houston. Game starts at 8 Eastern on BYU Radio. Watch now, or watch on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. And up next, we go live with ESPN college basketball analyst Sean Farnham as he recaps what happened against Texas Tech and what he thinks BYU is going to draw in the big dance. Is he all in on a five seed? Stay with us.
At least a first round bye at the conference tournament in the toughest basketball conference in the country. The Cougs have done it. The comeback Cougs have done it.
Well, the comeback Cougs couldn't quite do it yesterday. 16-0 run got him within 7 late, but ultimately BYU falls to Texas Tech, and now the Cougars await whatever their reality will be on Selection Sunday. We think it's going to be a 5 seed. Will it be Pittsburgh? Will it be Salt Lake City? We shall see. I'm Spencer Linton live in Provo. Jerem Jordan is live in Kansas City, still at the Big 12 tournament. And also live from the Big 12 tournament and doing fantastic work is ESPN college basketball analyst and insider Sean Farnham, who joins us now. Sean, I would like to apologize that the BYU-Texas Tech game kind of set the tone for a day that was – it was – uneventful basketball in large part yesterday. All
Spence, we didn't miss any threes.
I just feel bad for a fellow broadcaster because I know how difficult that is. Sean, what do you expect today on semifinal Friday after kind of an unexciting Thursday of basketball?
Well, first of all, I thought you were going to apologize for the way your voice sounds. usually it's the guys that are on site that are working all day long on site that have their voice go, not the guy back in studio very well rested. Well, Jerem and I are exhausted and, doing our thing. But, hey, that's okay. You're the guy that lost the voice. All right, cool.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Yeah, total. It just keeps adding up for me. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I got this. It's funny because you come into yesterday's games and really a lot of high expectations that we were going to have some competitive matchups. In particular, I did think that the BYU-Texas Tech matchup was going to be a lot more competitive than it was. And even with the slow start, I thought, okay, hit a couple threes because the three-point shot is so dangerous that you hit a couple threes and all of a sudden they're right back into the game. And then we'll see how they apply the pressure. And there was that moment for one brief second in the second half where the run was made, and then it was bang, three, and the game was over again. And that kind of set the tone for the rest of the day. I mean, it got to a point where I literally wondered if TCU was going to score in the first 20 minutes against Houston. And so I tricks of the trade, just so everybody knows at home. When you're doing set and stuff like that, and you've got your IFB, you can listen to the game, walk the circle around the arena. Just take a couple laps.
Yes.
Get the blood flowing a little bit, because otherwise when you're watching a game that you already know the outcome 3.5 minutes into it, and then you've got to bring energy at halftime, you've got to fill a 30-minute show after the game and make it sound like it was awesome, that becomes a little bit more challenging. So you got to get the blood flowing a little bit. So it was a tough day from the let's manufacture some excitement about what we're seeing right now. And it was a day that leads us to tonight, where, as you guys mentioned, it's very chalky. And I think that we're going to have two competitive games. I hope so. I hope we have two competitive games. I think we will. I think the late one definitely will.
Any concern about carryover for BYU to the NCAA tournament? Or do you think they'll do what they've done, which is what we argued, which is they bounced back really well after some disappointing losses this year?
It means nothing. Honestly, it means nothing. You lose a game in your conference tournament, and you get reseeded on Sunday in another bracket where you're 0-0, and everybody is 0-0. What matters on Sunday is the style of play and the matchups that potentially could await BYU and every other team that's selected. I mean, when I was a player at UCLA, we used to look, and the first thing we all did in the locker room was circle one team that could beat us. And we knew who that team was. And, you know, sometimes you overestimate or underestimate your opponent a little bit. I did that also at UCLA my junior year when we lost to Detroit Mercy with a backcourt of Baron Davis and Earl Watson for UCLA. We lost to Detroit Mercy in the first round because we were all like, Detroit Mercy, ha. And they zoned us the entire game. And we're like, our zone offense isn't really good. So I think that's what you have to look for. I mean, it really is, guys. Like, I listened to you guys go through the last segment and talking about potential matchups and Grand Canyon and whether or not you could see Irvine. And whether you're in Salt Lake or whether you're in Pittsburgh, I will tell you this. Sometimes it's better to be further away from home.
Interesting.
All right. And the reason why is it makes the event the event. When you're close to home, if they were to go to Salt Lake, the amount of ticket requests, the noise, the surrounding pressure of being there and winning adds another element to it. If you go to Pittsburgh, you're freed up. It's you and whoever's coming with you. You know, you've got your five tickets, your six tickets, whatever it may be, that you need to have in the NCAA tournament. And it's road warrior mentality. Let's go get one. And it's us against the world kind of thing. And I think that sometimes that can free you up. And I always found that when we played tournament games further away from home, we played better. But that's also because our team kind of like to have that chip on the shoulder. When I watch this BYU team, I think this is a BYU team that likes to have the chip on their shoulder. Sometimes it's self-manufactured, but they like to have the chip on their shoulder and they like to play with an edge. And sometimes if you go to someone else's house, like they did when they went to Kansas, you can kind of reignite that fire as you get started here in the NCAA tournament.
Sean Farnham of ESPN is with us on BYU Sports Nation.
I get from a fan perspective, by the way, why everybody wants them in Salt Lake. So I'm not dumb to that. I'm just telling you that it does add a different dimension and pressure to this team.
No, you bring up some great and very valid points. And there's some reality to that of BYU having shown that they can rally together and win a game like they did at Kansas when nobody gave them a chance. We'll get to, you know, where you think BYU will end up ultimately on Selection Sunday in just a moment. But I want to ask one more question as it pertains to yesterday's performance by the Cougars. And because a lot of BYU fans were saying, well, look, the blueprint's out there for how to beat BYU, and gosh, it just, I mean, maybe some teams have figured out their kryptonite. Sean, I'm convinced that every team in America has a kryptonite of not making open threes. Like, I feel like BYU lost the game not because Texas Tech was so overwhelmingly amazing on defense, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, they did some good things to make BYU get sped up in the first half, but ultimately, BYU just didn't make shots. Is it fair to say that BYU was not in the game because they didn't make open shots?
No.
No?
They got punched.
Okay.
They got punched yesterday.
Okay.
And they didn't punch back. They got socked early in that game. And Texas Tech, I think, from that first matchup when BYU was up 17 and responded, that was a punch in that game in which Texas Tech rallied back to win that game. And that's a game that probably BYU should have won. I think we all agree on that over the course of the regular season. And I think that they felt coming into this game that the discussion point would be about how BYU should have won that game. And they used that as a chip on their shoulder. And they came out and they got to them. And yeah, they missed shots, but there's a reason why the shots were missed. I mean, some of them were wide open, but if you watch that game, who was the more physical team? Who was the more aggressive team?
Oh, it was Texas Tech for sure, especially in the first half.
So that's what sets the tone for the game. Then all of a sudden you start rushing your release a little bit because you know you need the three-point shot that much more, and you've got a little blank open space, and you don't get a lot of open space, and so you got to take it when you have it. So while those are open threes, you're rushing your release a little bit, and that's why you end up missing, and you end up going 7 to 35 from three. And you shoot 20%. Like that's an aberration, right, especially considering the fact that you hit 14 three-pointers the day before. And if you look at the numbers over the course of the season, you know, one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. It's not a kryptonite to understand what BYU wants to do. By the way, everybody understands what everybody wants to do right now at this point in time of the season. Yes. There are no secrets in college basketball. Everybody's laid to tape at least 30 college basketball games. So there is no secret. There's no all of a sudden like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to shoot the three at all now. And we're going to surprise everybody because we're going to drive and we're going to post up every single possession and go high, low entry pass. No, that's not what they're going to do. So everybody knows what BYU is going to do. The difference is understanding how to stop it. And I think it is easier when you've faced an opponent multiple times to understand how you can be disruptive, as far as disruptive of the timing. Sometimes it's the angle of the pass. Sometimes it's how the pass is received by the shooter. And when that's thrown off a little bit because of ball pressure or because they had to run off a screen a little bit differently because of the way Texas Tech was fighting over it, you're seeing an open shot. I'm seeing a change in rhythm. And so I think I saw that yesterday, especially early on in the game. What I would harken back to for BYU fans would be, let's go back to the non-conference. How did the Cougars look in the non-conference against teams that were unfamiliar with them?
Incredible.
Okay. So I think that's what you're looking at. So this test of the Big 12 wasn't just to get a 5 seed, get a home color uniform, maybe a 6 seed. It's designed to be battle tested to understand the rigors of what it's going to take to win games come March. And certainly they have gone through those wars, and now they are ready for the battle that they've been waiting for all season long. And the job that Mark Pope and this team has done to get themselves into this position is outstanding. And that should be celebrated by all BYU fans. And now you should be excited about the opportunity to play against opponents that aren't familiar and don't understand that you're not just a three-point shooting team. We talk about a three-point shooting team, but this BYU team can be very physical. And teams look at them and go, no, they're not a physical group of guys. Look at them. And then also you go out on the floor and Richie Saunders is like sharpened up his elbows again with like a cue ball before he comes out. You know, and you get a little elbow in the back and you're like, oh, who is that? And then say, the guy with the headband, he just did that to me. You know, but that's the reality of playing BYU. And I think teams are going to feel that. And I think that helps them come the NCAA tournament. But so, guys, this is the most difficult part of the week for me. As a broadcaster, because everybody wants to know how their team's going to fare in the NCAA tournament. I don't have a bracket. I can't tell you. Let me see on Sunday what the matchups look like, and then we can have a conversation. Right now, you can look at Joey Brackets. You can look at Jerry Palm. You can go to all the websites and bring up any mock NCAA tournament bracket that you want. At the end of the day, you know, when Selection Sunday comes out and here, dun, 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 welcome to the CBS Selection Show. That's when you're going to know
sure
who they're playing and what the potential matchups are going to actually be.
Okay, at this Big 12 tournament, Sean, who do you feel like is going to win this thing Saturday night?
I think Iowa State's going to win it. I think that the potential matchup between two amazingly good defenses that are very physical and can turn you over. I mean, Iowa State last night, they turned them over 35% of their possessions against Kansas State. 35% of their possessions ended in turnovers. All right, let's couple that with the missed shots. And now you're looking at like 65% of their possessions were empty. That's incredible. You're gonna win a lot of games when you do that. And I like Iowa State. I think obviously it's a game that you have to be physical. And I think Robert Jones can match that physicality of Roberts underneath. And I think Lipsy can match up with Jamal Shedd. I think that's as good as a game as you're going to find in Champ Week if that's the one that we end up getting. Now, that doesn't mean that Baylor can't make shots from the outside today and shoot over the top and make sure that they control the ball. But I do anticipate right now Iowa State, the way they played last night, and Houston, the way that, I mean, TCU, poor TCU. That they didn't let TCU score. They're like, no, you cannot score yet. Fine, you can score now. 11 minutes in the game. Go ahead. You can score. It's just, it was, you know, I think they're just on a different playing field right now.
All right, Sean, as we wrap up, I do need to ask you, I know you're not going to prognosticate because you don't have a bracket yet, but do you straight up, yes or no, feel like BYU's resume has earned a 5 seed? Or do you feel like they could legitimately slide down lower than that?
Is that because I made the Paula Abdul reference yesterday about Wake Forest? Is that why you said straight up?
Straight up now, tell me, Sean. Are you really going to love BYU forever?
Me together. Let me say, I would go, I think it's a 5 seed. I think it's a 5 seed. I will tell you this. I am interested, and I'm hearing some things. This conversation about manipulating the metrics seems to be something that has gained a little bit of momentum in the last week or so. And the non-conference strength of schedule, if there is any reason that you see BYU on the 6, it will be because of their non-conference schedule and the strength and the lack thereof in their non-conference. The Big 12 overall did not have a strong non-conference schedule, and very few teams actually scheduled up. And I think that there might be some resentment when it comes out on Selection Sunday, and we'll see if that holds true.
All right, great stuff. Hey, we know that you're going to up your suit game later tonight. We'll be watching as
suit game will be good. Yes. Soul Joe's. I'm going to Joe's Barbecue right now. It's going to be outstanding.
Let's go, man. Hey, enjoy that meal. We appreciate you making time for us. And have some fun, man. Hopefully the games are exciting for you tonight.
Please. Please be good.
Sean Farnham of ESPN on BYU Sports Nation. Really fun, interesting conversation as the Cougars push into Selection Sunday. Thanks, Sean.
No worries, guys.
All right, Jerem, you just heard. Hey, Sean calls it how it is. Okay, BYU got punched in the mouth, and he's talking about Big 12 non-conference schedule. Like he's, it feels like he's playing devil's advocate, but he needs to do this. He needs to do this because there are realities out there where BYU could slide to a 6 seed because of this growing conversation about lack of non-conference schedule. Jay Billis, we know how he feels about it. He thinks it's a bunch of baloney. He's like, who cares if you play in the non-conference? You play in the toughest conference in America and you're good. You've earned what you've earned. But it's always interesting to hear the different sides of that conversation. Jerem, we're going to come back with you in a little bit because we got a lot to discuss. A loaded Cougar whip around. And we should remind you, up next Friday, March 22nd, BYU and BYU TV are putting together an extremely special event for the 1984 National Championship football team in celebration of the Cougars' 40th year anniversary on that triumphant run. If you were on that 1984 team and need details about the event coming up soon, please email us at the site on your screen now, BYUTVSportsSocial@gmail.com. Again, it's BYUTVSportsSocial@gmail.com. After the break, where do the bracketologists have BYU playing in the first round of the NCAA tournament? If you missed it, we'll revisit it. And who do you think the Cougars are going to face? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Happy Friday, everyone. I am Spencer in Provo, Jerem Jordan live in Kansas City as he helps us recap BYU's run there in the Big 12 tournament, and we push forward to Selection Sunday. That said, we've got a lot of headlines to get to, so Jerem, start us off.
Men's basketball loses 81-67 as the 5 seed to the 4 seed Texas Tech in the Big 12 tournament quarterfinals yesterday. The Cougars shot 37% from the field, just 20% from three, second lowest percentage of the season. Jackson Robinson led the Cougars with 18 points. BYU now awaits Selection Sunday.
Speaking of Selection Sunday, just 2 days away for the Cougars and all the other hopeful teams, BYU will find out which seed they are, who and where they'll be playing in the NCAA tournament on Sunday. And of note, if you missed it earlier in the show, here's where they are projected right now. ESPN's Joe Lunardi has BYU as a 5 seed playing South Florida in Pittsburgh. CBS Sports' Jerry Palm has dropped the Cougars to a 5 seed playing Grand Canyon in Salt Lake City. The Athletic has BYU as a 4 seed playing UC Irvine in Salt Lake City. I think that's a little ambitious. Bracket Matrix has BYU as an average seed of 4.75, which, if you do the math, looks pretty close to a 5.
I didn't take a math class at BYU, but I can confirm those two.
Round up.
Headline number three. Baseball lost 9-2 to Houston last night in game one of a three-game series at Miller Park. Cougars 7-8 overall, 1-3 in league now. Game two is tonight. 8 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
BYU softball drops their Big 12 road opener against third-ranked Texas, who was ranked number one until last week. BYU loses 13-0 Texas. They have elite pitching. They hold the Cougars to one hit overall. The Cougars now 16-7 overall, 1-3 in the Big 12. Games 2 and 3 against the Longhorns will be played today in a doubleheader.
Gymnastics is on the road for the final meet of the regular season in Seattle tonight against the host Washington, plus the Southern Utah Flippin' Birds and Sac State.
And BYU men's and women's track and field begin the outdoor season this weekend in Tucson, Arizona, as both teams send their sprinters to compete at the Arizona Spring Break Fiesta.
As Rob Gronkowski once said, yo soy fiesta. Women's tennis continues to roll with a 12th win this season. They've been fantastic. Fourth win in the Big 12 against Iowa State now, 6-1. Tomorrow morning, the Cougars play at Kansas. Make it men's basketball and women's tennis in Lawrence winning.
Let's go. BYU's women dive began competition in the CSCAA National Invitational Championship in Ocala, Florida yesterday, highlighted by Mackenzie Lung, who broke her own school record in the 50-meter breaststroke. Competition continues through the weekend.
Is that like the NIT of swimming? Is that what they were in, which is still awesome?
I have no idea.
And Whitney Bauer made her pro debut with the Atlanta Vibe last night as a serving sub, fellow Cougar teammate, and now Atlanta Vibe teammate Kamila Hiapo has played 10 games for the Vibe, who, by the way, are the best team in the new Pro Volleyball Federation at 8-3. They beat the Omaha Supernovas yesterday.
That's quite the mascot, a supernova. Those are today's headlines.
It's not merely a nova.
Let's whip it. The Cougar Whip represented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Lunardi currently has 9 teams in his NCAA tournament bracket from the Big 12 with Kansas State and Cincinnati on the bubble. Will the Big 12 get 10 or more teams into the tourney?
No. Kansas State and Cincinnati both needed to win yesterday's quarterfinal games to feel like they had a legitimate shot of getting in as that 10th team. The Big 12 will get 9 in. It's not going to be 10. Had Cincy beaten Baylor, yeah, maybe Cincinnati is that 10th team in, but it's not going to happen. What do you think?
I think no, and hopefully it's 9 for the Big 12, certainly best basketball conference in America. But, you know, Oklahoma in, but are they? You know, we could see 1 or 2 teams that maybe we thought were totally in, maybe are more on the bubble than we thought. But we know BYU's in, and we know a bunch from the Big 12 are in, so all good, Doc.
Hey, Jeremy, Twitter account at C Mitchell Hoops posted this talking about BYU, and I want you to tell me if this is fair. Quote, BYU is the most frustrating team in college hoops. Cougars could make a Final Four run or lose to a 12 seed by 25 in the first round. Excuse me, is that fair? I don't like it.
Was there a cough in the tweet? I didn't see that part. I don't think that BYU is capable of losing by 25 to a 12 seed. Come on. I know BYU struggled. They were playing the number 25 team in the country. Texas Tech is a good team, man. They're a 5 seed in Jerry Palm. That's like a second round type game. Was it frustrating yesterday? Has it been frustrating in a couple of games? Sure. But the majority of the season has been fantastic. No, I think BYU's winning the first round. I see the frustration, but BYU's more likely to win than they are to get blown out by 25.
Yes. All right, let's go next question.
Okay, Jimmy Fredette and Rafa Araújo, I got to say his name, you know, Brazilian name.
Yes, Portuguese.
Two of the top 25 players in the Mountain West 25-year team to celebrate 25 years in the Mountain West. Who else should have made this team for BYU?
Maybe Keena Young. I don't know if Keena did enough. Like, Keena was really good in 2007 in the early Dave Rose years. Lee Kamard is a name that comes to mind. Trent Placid was an NBA draft pick as well. I don't know. Does Travis Hansen qualify? Like, because did he play? Yeah, he played in that era. Maybe Travis Hansen. Who do you think should have made it?
Those are some good ones. I think those two are probably the two. But, like, where's your boy Sam Burgess and Ben Murdoch? You know, I just really thought they'd – just kidding. I love those guys, though.
Hey, Ben Murdoch started over Jimmer Fredette at one point. He's got that going for him.
Yes, he did. He's selling a lot of cars. No.
Be sure to check out the new Deep Blue podcast featuring BYU Athletic Director Tom Holmoe. Find out what brought him to Provo as a student athlete, and more importantly, what made him return years later to work in the athletic department. You can listen to it on demand on the BYU Radio app. After the break, we'll listen to some of the BYU players with Jerem reacting to yesterday's quarterfinal loss to Texas Tech and what they're looking forward to on Selection Sunday. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I am Spencer Linton in Provo, Utah. Jerem Jordan is in Kansas City, and he's doing work. In fact, yesterday after BYU's loss, spoke with several BYU players about where the Cougars go from here and what the heck happened against the Red Raiders, beginning with Jerem's one-on-one with BYU sharpshooter Trevin Nell.
All right, Trevin, what are the emotions like after that game?
I mean, there's just so much frustration, right? I feel like we played 10 minutes, like, you know, we played all season, right? And so it's just a lot of frustration. We kind of just got punked in that first half. And so it's good for us. Like, it's a good wake-up call. And we're fortunate enough to be able to play in postseason to where we can actually, you know, make some more noise. And I think this is going to actually help us in postseason in the tournament. So, yeah, it's a gut punch. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be beneficial to a lot of people to wake up and feel like, hey, we can play with anybody in the country.
What's correctable about at least the start of the game right there?
I mean, they came out with fire. They came out with some intensity. And I feel like we were just one step behind the whole 5-10 minutes of the game. And so we just got to have, you know, some guys I'm accountable for not, you know, setting the tone early. And I feel like we really set the tone that first couple of minutes against UCF. And so we just need to carry that over and not let, you know, games or frustration or anything going on the court affect how we're playing.
At one point, you get it down to 7 with 5 minutes to go, 15-0 run. Did you feel like it was on at that point?
100%. I feel like that's when we started playing BYU basketball. We had trust. We were passing. We were sharing the ball. We were making open shots. And then our offense didn't dictate our defense. We were still really locked in on the defensive end. And so I think that's just a maturity point for this team to be able to, you know, take this loss and, you know, really make some noise in the tournament. And so, like I said, it sucks. It's super frustrating. I know for us. I know for Cougar Nation. But at the end of the day, like, we're going to make noise, and this is not going to happen again.
What are you looking forward to the most about Selection Sunday?
I mean, it's a first for a lot of these guys. For me, it's going to be fun to be able to play in front of crowds and not COVID here. So I'm excited to do this with this collective group. Like I said, it's the best locker room in America. So we're going to come together, and we're excited to see our seed. Hopefully it's in Salt Lake, but at the end of the day, Cougar Nation, you know, they travel, so it's going to be fun no matter where we are.
Would you care what seed you were if you were in Salt Lake?
Honestly, no. I'm excited, whatever. I feel like we made a lot of noise. We put ourselves in position to, you know, have a great seed, whatever that seed is. And so we put ourselves in a good spot. And like I said, it's a wake-up call, so I'm excited to whoever that is that we get to play.
I'd forgotten that in the COVID year, you didn't get Selection Sunday. And then
we got Selection Sunday, but it was
you didn't get a play.
Yeah, it was definitely weird.
Right. And then Hinkle Fieldhouse in front of nobody. So this is a normal one for you, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm excited for a lot of these guys. I'm excited for myself, you know. So, last time I played was against UCLA, then until the Final Four. So we're going to be that team, I guess. So it's going to be fun. I'm super excited for these guys. And like I said, another wake-up call, a little gut punch, but we're excited to fight back.
If there's any BYU team that's gone through the ringer during the regular season and is ready for the postseason, it's certainly you guys. So best of luck in the postseason, and thanks for the time.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Jerem Jordan with Trevin Nell, and he moved very quickly through the locker room. Open locker room, by the way, which is a unique scenario for this Big 12 tournament. Not how things typically operate in a regular season. But he found Richie Saunders as well, who has been so dynamite lately, and spent about 4 minutes with Richie discussing, again, what went wrong against Texas Tech, but what BYU anticipates on Selection Sunday. Here's Richie Saunders with Jerem.
All right, Richie, what was the toughest pill to swallow about today's performance?
They simply out-toughed us. They just punked us. Like, we came out, and they just hit us harder than we hit them, and something I feel like I take personally. I don't like being in this position, but it's a humbling moment that we can use to move forward, you know.
Looking ahead, you know, what lessons are there to learn from this regarding the start, regarding, you know, the runs of the game and whatnot?
We got to come out from the get-go and just be warriors and just hit, right? Like, in the last game, UCF, we did that. We came and we hit them. And, you know, like that's going to help us moving forward, taking care of this ball. And really just being closer together. I feel like we kind of got further apart as a team is, for a little bit. We fixed it, but in the little run that we made. But, you know, like just that we got to do it together. We have to do this. We got to do this thing together. You know?
How do you come together when you go down 23 or you make one of the next 18 shots, right? That's a tough stretch.
Yeah, that's so hard, right? But what we do is the reason we have put ourselves in a good position for the year is because we've done it together. We've, during our little huddles, like after a dead ball or a free throw or whatever, like we huddle, we talk about specific things that we got to work on. And today it was just the fluff, I felt like, you know, which is it's totally changeable. All these things are on us, right, which is so frustrating. But trying to figure out how to get myself to be looking forward and, I guess, debrief this one, swallow it, and then move on, right?
In those moments, did frustration perhaps take over in the moment, trying to summon something else there?
There's so much frustration. There's so much. But I feel like it's just like every game, this one more than others for sure, but the whole name of the game is to beat off the frustration and to deal with the frustration after. But like that being said, like, yeah, there was a few missed calls that I was frustrated about that got in my head more than I wish I would have.
Looking ahead, you know, it'd be if this was perhaps the last game of the season, it'd be really hard. You know you're going to play in the NCAA tournament. What are you looking forward to about Selection Sunday and what the possibilities could be?
The opportunity to move forward. We're super fortunate to have that opportunity to get on with our lives and to have one more given. And this is time to take what we've applied or learned all season, including today, and do it, to execute on it, to really just together do this thing and get some wins. Like, I know we're going to make some runs in this tournament, and it's what we've been preparing for all year. This one hurts, but we can move forward.
You guys have bounced back really well during the season. I anticipate that could be the case next Thursday, right, in a week from today. What matters more to you, seeding or location in the tourney?
I'm just super grateful to play on there, honestly. Growing up, watching that every game, right? But it'd be really cool to play in Salt Lake and get that place filled with blue, right?
So any seed, as long as it's Salt Lake, would that do?
Nah, I'll play in Salt Lake, right? They're all, you know how the tournament is. Every seed's just freaking good, so.
Do you have an NCAA tournament memory growing up that really sticks out that you're hoping to obviously create for yourself in this team?
Yeah, the Louisville run is the first thing that comes to my head. I remember watching those games with just some of my neighbors, the Fuels, would skip school and watch it every March 17th or whatever the date is. And I remember watching that one.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the time and best of luck.
Hey, thank you.
Jerem with Richie. A new episode of the Her Why podcast just dropped. Former Cougar superstar Ashley Hatch opens up about not making the World Cup roster last year and how she maintained her love for the game of soccer. Find it on BYURadio.org. After the break, a rise and shout out to how this Sunday will be one to remember. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day, what would you be willing to give up for BYU to play in Salt Lake City in the NCAA tournament?
All my sins to know thee.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes from Matt Holt on Facebook, who says, I'd give up a win over Texas Tech in the little tournament. All right, BYU's made the sacrifice, so we're
little
good,
tournament.
Right?
Wow.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. What do you got, Jerem?
BYU's going to the dance, baby. Can't wait for Selection Sunday. Give us a 5 seed in Salt Lake, Doc.
Yes. Cougars trying to win their first tournament game since 2012. Our thanks to today's guests, Sean Farnham, Trevin Nell, and Richie Saunders. Sorry to Dennis Petta, we ran out of time. For Jerem Jordan in Kansas City, I'm Spencer Linton in Provo. And an additional shout out to DeMarcus Harrison. We'll see you Monday for Tournament Week. Go Cougs!